there, everybody. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm your host, Ken Schneck. You'll notice we don't say the date anymore. Our affiliates have asked that we not say the date, so I will just say, welcome to episode number 241. You can send us an email, get in touch with us, send that on over to Ken at thisshowissogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com to learn all about the fun things happening with our little gay radio show that could. You can tweet us. The handle is thisshowissogay. And of course, go to the Facebook, like us, because we sure as heck like you. A jam-packed show for you on this episode number 241. We must get started with our first guest. I know, I just got to keep saying it like that. Our first guest. Now, I will say that for the past 240 episodes, I always write my own bios. I piece things together, but sometimes some of our guests write their bios way better than I could have, so I'm just going to read this one straight from the website and say, Kate Clinton is a faith-based, tax-paying, America-loving political humorist and family entertainer. With a career spanning 30 years, Kate Clinton has worked through economic booms and busts, Disneyfication and Walmartization, I knew I was going to struggle on that one, gay movements and gay markets, lesbian chic and queer eyes, and 8 presidential inaugurals. She still believes, and we'll test her on this, that humor gets us through peacetime, wartime, scoundrel time, and economic downtimes. Kate Clinton, welcome back to This Show Is So Gay.
I am so thrilled to be here for number 241.
Oh, did I mention that? Did I mention that that's the episode number? I know.
I'm just say the date. I'm just going to say, no, okay, I won't.
I know, I feel like I can't celebrate holidays anymore on the show because that would indicate when it is. So let's just say that there are no holidays going on and it's a beautiful summer day.
So hot here in New York.
I bet.
Where are you located?
I have relocated the show from Vermont to Cleveland, so from gray to grayer.
Oh, I love a nice cement-colored sky.
It's very motivating. It really gets you through the day. It gets you through the day. Kate, we have so much to talk about. I will say, we have not had you on the show in over 3 years.
What's up with that?
It would be 3 years ago this week, if I were to say the date.
I did so well in 166. I can't believe that you didn't have me back sooner.
I was going to say so, you know, anything going on in the past 3 years, but you're so, do you have the sense that you are insanely busy? Because I have that sense about you.
Do you have that sense in Cleveland?
I get from you and your social media mastery, I just feel like, oh, I could be doing more, because look how busy Kate Clinton is.
I do think everything is crazy speeded up. Have you watched Portlandia? I think it's absolutely hilarious. Oh my gosh. There's one scene where he's like trapped in a communication spiral and he's trying to, you know, do his tweets. He's trying to check his email. He's checking his phone and he just keeps, I gotta do this. And sometimes I feel like that. I mean, email is just endless. Although I do a digital Sabbath. I do on Sunday. I don't write to anybody. I don't read any email, and it feels great.
Do you get twitchy? I would get twitchy.
I think I only had time like that when we went to Mexico, and there was no, we couldn't connect with anything, and I did get a bit twitchy. I was embarrassed.
There you go.
Say.
I would imagine your partner gets a little twitchy too.
She is a nearly incredible professional vacationer.
Oh, wow.
As soon as that plane leaves the ground, she's on vacation. It's
huh.
Amazing to see, yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all.
She does way, way, way too many segments in a day. And on vacation, it's amazing how she can relax immediately.
All right. So apparently we can learn something from her.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yes.
Except all of us who know who she is. So, before
can
we
say names on 241?
I know.
Is it anonymous in another way I should know?
Well, maybe you're going to have a different partner, and then if we say the name, they're going to be able to trace it back. No,
right.
Never.
Uh-huh. And may I just say
yes.
Won't chase partners?
Yes. I love that someday in some therapist's office, someone's going to ask the question, well, where did the marital discord start? Well, I was on episode 241 of This Show Is So Gay, and he introduced an uncomfortable idea. So there you go. Happy to be a part.
Influenced by NSA, somehow the spying. I try to throw those people off.
Oh, man. Okay, before we talk about current day, I want to go back. I want to go back 30 years mm-hmm. to what do you remember about your first onstage performance?
Oh, my first onstage performance was March 21st, if I may say that.
Please.
In 1981. What? And I had been talking about wanting to try stand-up comedy, and my best friend booked me in a club, and she said, "You're on in a month. I don't want to hear about it anymore."
Wow.
And so we put a little we put a sign up in the women's bar, and 180 of my closest friends came.
Nice.
And it was like one giant codependency meeting. You know, they were all like clapping, and I had one friend who began to heckle me about a minute in, and I said, because I knew her by name, I said, "Rita, what are you doing?" She said, "I'm heckling. It's a comedy club. You're supposed to heckle." I said, "Stop it." Total high school English teacher immediately. And that's how I, you know, it was a great start. Now, a couple of weeks later, I did a show in Boston.
Okay.
The show had been in Syracuse, New York, and I did a show in Boston. Now, they were not all my friends. And it was sort of in a salon, and people were lounging around, and the jokes that were hilarious 2 weeks ago didn't go anywhere.
Oh, no.
And I began to think maybe you just, if you're lounging, you can't really laugh. You need to be sitting up. But it was so wonderful. I was doing it, and a woman in the back of the room yelled, great Southie accent, "You're on your own now, darling." And I thought, well, I am. But fortunately, really, Ken, because I had taught high school English for 8 years, I knew how to go on. You just go on.
You just do it.
You just do it.
I love in that second time in Boston, you were kind of missing Rita.
I was missing Rita. And, of course, she had on, you know, a black turtleneck. She was all doing the hippie hep cat thing.
I bet she still is.
No, she passed.
Of course. Yeah, there was no other way that story could have gone.
No.
There was no, as soon as it came out.
Had we been able to give a date, we would have understood that.
Yes. Oh, okay. Well, there's that. So now, oh my gosh, your career. I know I'm moving on because it's the worst transition ever.
Isn't that great?
Talk about therapy later for me.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. You've had your career, for people who don't know about your career, I don't have time to talk about it, so we're not going to go through all the highlights of your career. What stands out for you? And I know it's a bit of an unfair question because you've had so many incredible stage experiences. Is there one where you're like, oh my gosh, I just want to go right back to that night?
Well, I've had a few experiences. Like if someone says to me, "I saw your show at Town Hall in New York," I will say to them, "Then you saw quite the show." It was during the Gay Olympics and the Gay Games. I'm sorry. Which will be in Cleveland.
Which are going to be in Cleveland.
Hello. And Lily Tomlin and I will be doing our senior synchronized swimming routine. We're working on it now.
I have so many comments. Yes, that's great.
So it was the show. I don't know what happened. It was just an extraordinary night, and I really felt like I was about 2 inches off the floor the whole time.
Wow.
And when I got off stage, I often think, oh, God, so, you know, or, you know how you pick the one negative thing that happened.
Of course. I didn't.
I thought, that was great. So that was wonderful. And, you know, when I think back on it, to MC the March on Washington with a million gay people, it was pretty staggering. I remember I looked out, and it just, I remember there was a guy, it was on C-SPAN, and one of the cameramen said, "Smile." And I must have just been just in shock.
I can't imagine.
It was absolutely incredible.
I can't imagine.
And you know, I had a friend who was very ill from AIDS, and he couldn't go to the march, and he had been sick, and I was kind of, you know, he'd call me and he'd say, "Could you bring me some apple juice?" Not nectar, juice. And when he called me one night, it was, you know, about, oh my God, it was like 3 below 0, and he said, "I need some apple juice." And sure enough, I brought him apple nectar. And he said to me, "I said juice." And then I went back to the store, and I went back. So a year later, he's too ill to go to the March on Washington. But he's having brunch with a friend and watching it on television. And I began my emceeing by saying, "We welcome the people who are here. And for those who can't make it, please say hello to my friend Chris." And so everybody, like millions of people, went, "Hi, Chris."
Oh.
So he's on the couch. He's just wiped out. And he looks at my friend and he goes, Well, that'll make up for the appetizer.
The lengths you have to go, it's unbelievable.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
I know.
Well, fast forward to now, and I'm going to ask you the same question I've been asking a ton of guests lately. How do you, as someone who's been so invested in this community and our progress and commenting on it and observing it, how do you wrap your mind around where we are right now? You know, it's the end of the year. It's been quite the year. But it also is not just this year. We're at just such an exciting time. How do you encapsulate this all?
That's a great question. I'm always sort of the last person to get it.
Yeah.
Like when the Supreme Court decisions came down this summer, I bet it took me a couple of months to really let it sink in.
Absolutely.
Because it just is, it's beyond my, it was really beyond anything I could think of or imagine. So I wrap my head around it very excitedly and very cautiously. I think that it is enormous progress, and I love now when people who are in other movements kind of go, wow, how'd you do it? How did you make such wonderful progress? You know, and I just say, well, we worked really hard.
Really hard.
40 years of Kickstarters, for sure.
Right.
So I'm very excited, but I'm also very concerned as we look at other movements, the women's movement, the black movement, you know, this other civil rights movements, that you achieve a victory and then everybody's like kicks back and goes, awesome, that's done. And we know that we still have lots of work to do about, in our own movement, about, you know, HIV AIDS and violence against trans people, in homelessness among kids and, you know, LGBT kids. I'm concerned, but luckily, since George Bush, I've learned how to have more than two thoughts at the same time, conflicting often.
Yes.
So I'm excited and still cautious.
That's two more thoughts than George Bush had.
Actually, it is.
There you go.
I'm happy to tell you that on a certain day, like today, number 241, during Nelson Mandela's memorial, look it up, Bush was booed.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yay.
Yeah, well, that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. That's going to happen. Well, I have all of these random ephemera that I want to throw out at you. There's no connection.
I call it a joke. Go ahead.
there's no connection between these things except things that I want to talk to you about. And
okay.
And I want to start with, because we didn't talk about it on this show because, I don't know, for whatever reason, you posted this just incredibly lovely picture of one of my favorite people ever, of you and Marsha Wallace.
Oh.
Talk to us about Marsha Wallace, because I do fear that there are people who don't know who she was.
Well, she was on the Bob Newhart show.
Yeah.
And she is just this very hilarious, interesting-looking woman, really a pioneer. And I did the Vagina Monologues with her. And LaShawn's, who's this extraordinary African-American singer, woman, and so we were the three characters of in the Vagina Monologues, and so I always wanted to tape what it was like getting makeup on behind stage, because it was just hilarious and so moving. I mean, Marsha had was a breast cancer survivor at the time. She is no longer, sadly, and LaShawn's, her husband, had been killed in the 9/11 attack.
Oh, I had no idea.
And so, and Marsha's husband, I think she was married very late, and this guy, she just loved this guy, and I think they were married maybe 18 months, and he got this horrible, fast-moving blood thing and died. And
wow.
So it was just amazing, and she was hilarious.
Yeah.
Absolutely hilarious. And stay in touch like nobody's business. And
oh, wow.
She said, I will be in touch with you. And she would come to New York, and we would get together. We went to shows together. We went to see LaShawn's together. I mean, she just is a loss. And comic timing. And she was wonderful, because I had never really done, you know, an 8-show-a-week Broadway run. And she was wonderful with me, helping me to think about different ways of doing lines and... so I really learned a lot. I mean, she was a very, very generous completely hilarious. And
a great friend to the gay community.
Absolutely.
A great friend.
No questions.
Yeah.
And right away.
I grew up watching Match Game. I honestly, they don't make it like Match Game anymore.
I know.
I'm like the one who's, you know, what do you want to be for Halloween? Charles Nelson Reilly? Is that possible?
Absolutely. And she was absolutely lovely. You know, did a lot of work then for breast cancer research.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Huge. All right, so that's Marcia Wallace.
Okay.
Miss her terribly. You had...
Also, she taught me about good hair care products.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Look at that.
I was struggling, and she said, you've got to get this. It's Freeze and Shine, and it'll be excellent. And she's right. I still use it every day and still think of her when I do it.
Look at that. Who knew? Okay, so that's Marcia Wallace. You had one of the funniest tweet Facebook posts. I don't remember which media it was on. But talk to us. I mentioned it a few weeks ago on, you know, whatever episode number that was.
Mm-hmm.
The Cheney sisters is fascinating to follow, is it not?
It's wonderful. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Right?
It wasn't so scary. Yeah. Well, I think the tweet was they had accepted... they RSVP'd and accepted Thanksgiving dinner at our house, how to seat them.
I, on some level, it's great fodder for me to talk about on This Show Is So Gay. On the other, and I said this at the time, it's extraordinarily uncomfortable to see this family drama playing out.
Yes. And I really would like to know what their dinners are like with, you know, first of all, that Lon Chaney's even there. Still alive, apparently has wonderful health care. Although he's come out with Dick Cheney has a new book called It's About the History of His Heart.
Oh, God.
Right there, it's hilarious. Yeah, I just can't imagine. I mean, I think it's also a struggle that, you know, many, many families have.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we've talked about them enough.
Yes.
Let's go on.
So. Let's move on.
Okay.
We have to move on to the Sis Boom Ba tour, which still has some dates left here at the end of the year.
It does. Yes, I have two more dates left. I'll be in Palm Beach, and it's snowing like crazy here, and I go tomorrow morning, so I can't. It's a tough job, but somebody's got
you
to gotta
do it. You got to do it. And honestly, on behalf of the community, we appreciate your sacrifice. We really...
And you know what? Just for you people, I'm going to stay a couple of extra days.
You know, it's appreciated, and I think that's going to advance the movement. In honor of our show, of course, how gay is the Sis Boom Ba tour?
Oh, the Sis Boom Ba show is so gay. I have to say, though, the lovely thing about doing this for more than 30 years is how the world is opened. I mean, when I began, I did a 90-minute show, and people were like, what could you possibly talk about lesbians for 90 minutes? But there was a lot to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
The thing that is, there's still a lot to talk about. There's more people talking. There are more venues for talking. So I notice in my show now what's lovely is that I get to be a lesbian and very gay and talk about things like poverty, about the media. I mean, the world has just opened up. It's really wonderful. And my point of view or my, you know, people say, well, don't you get upset being called a lesbian comedian? I say, no, I love it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that and at this point, it really, my audiences and the material reflects how a wide concept I do think being lesbian and gay is. It's not, you know, we would like to say it's a niche market, but I get to have a point of view about everything.
And I don't know if you know this, but Tony Kushner thinks it's great.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
There is, if folks have not seen, I can't read the whole thing because, you know, it's only a 59-minute show.
I asked him for a sentence. The man writes, you know, like when he ended in Lincoln, it was like a six-hour movie. And Spielberg said, no, we really have to cut it down.
It's lovely. So that tour, so that's wrapping up, and then you'll have a whole new tour next year?
Next year I will go into semi-hibernation, and I have lots of things that I've written that I just can start putting together.
Oh.
And things happen. Isn't that nice?
Isn't it?
Before, you know, I could, you know, if something gay happened in the media, you could talk about it for 5 years. You know, Lily Tomlin wore purple. Discuss, you know. But now it's like I am just... not even anymore keeping up.
I would suggest the Cheney Sisters Lounge Act, just as possible titles. So to put that, I'm here to help, Kate.
Thank you.
I'm here to help. Now,
I wish, call more often.
You know, once every 3 years. It's fine. It's fine.
Okay. My mother's never put up with that. But don't ask about my mother, for God's sakes.
Now, when was the last time she was at a show?
She's dead. Let's see. When she came, do you know she never came to a show?
Really?
Yeah. She had Parkinson's, sadly,
okay,
and died a while ago.
I'm hitting all the highlights.
I'm going to therapy now.
Who else has passed on that you would like to talk about?
I have a friend that's not doing well.
Yes,
although
great.
I did. She's 93, and I got to see her recently. And she was lying in bed, and I, of course, went in and said, can I lie on top of you? And she was like, yes. And I just kissed her all over, and she's such a dear sweetie. And she said, I have found out, now I know what I'm going to die of. And I thought, well, could somebody have sent me the memo? And she said, I said, what are you going to die of? And she said, I'm going to die of gratitude.
Oh.
Because she wasn't in any pain.
Oh, my gosh.
Her kids were around, and they really were taking care of her. She was in the sweetest, the most adorable kind of fluffy bed coat.
Oh.
That had cows on it, hilarious cows on it. I mean, you know, and I got to talk. I was just very happy.
And she's still around?
Oh, God, yes.
Okay, good. All right.
Totally.
Because apparently it not only comes in threes, but it comes in threes on this show. So we'll see who else we get
sorry.
To. Now,
I'm so sorry, but we're showing our bravery and admitting that dying is just a part of life.
I actually decided as we're talking about this, because normally I would just edit this out. I am hereby saying I am not going to edit any of this death out of my show.
Please don't.
Okay.
That's not news to a lot of people. But
there you go.
I really think. You know, I don't really... Oh, well, let's not go into it. Go ahead.
The must read, if folks have not checked it out, is a piece called Thankful for My Gal's Health on Thanksgivica.
Mm.
Now, I will tell you that, and if you don't know, Kay Clinton wrote it. That's why I'm bringing it up now. It would be irrelevant in other circumstances. It is just a lovely piece. I will tell you, it is extraordinarily difficult to quote from, because it is – no, and I mean this in the most complimentary way, because I was pulling out different quotes and it didn't do the whole piece justice. So let me first say, everyone just go Google Thankful for My Gal's Health on Thanksgivica, and it's on Kate Clinton's website, which we'll give you in a couple minutes. What inspired this just lovely piece?
Well, it is that very moment when I mean, the gist of the piece is I always, annoyingly to my girlfriend, try to sweet talk almost every cashier. She called it flirting. I call it making their day a little more happy.
Potato, potato.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And that there was one I could not break. And I just thought, I mean, I've been to this cashier in the store for like 19 years, and she just would not give. And I thought, well, maybe her son has some horrible thing wrong, or she's going through a 19-year bad patch, or she's homophobic. I didn't know. But then my dear partner, and she's doing well now, went through breast cancer and chemo and lost her hair. And after one session, she was feeling better. So she went to the store like Yul Brynner and bald, and the cashier called her right over. And they talked, and there was this amazing bond. We've certainly found out that there's this amazing cancer survivor bond. And the next time it was my turn to go into the store, she waved me over.
Look at that.
And asked me how my friend was. And I was so shocked. I just said, she's doing better every day. I was like, oh, my God, you're talking to me.
Oh.
And then the next time Irva, she felt better, and she went to the store. The cashier called her over, and they got talking again, and we had just gotten married on our 25th wedding anniversary. Got married at City Hall and announced to our friends on our anniversary that we'd gotten married, much to their surprise. And so the next time I went in again, this woman just hailed me over and congratulated me. And, you know, I was just so struck by how certainly the commonality of illness, but kind of cemented by the fact of marriage and how it makes us so legible and so readable to other people, and it made such an entree for her to feel comfortable talking to me. I mean, I walked away and I thought, well, I'm very thankful on this, you know, Festival of Lights and Thanksgiving.
I love it. Now, are you one of those people who reads the comments when you post these things?
I don't.
Okay.
I do sometimes, but I don't. I'd never get anything done if I did.
Let me just tell you that there is one comment on the Washington Blade site that I think is priceless, and it's basically the person thanks you for writing it because they really love Challah. I'm not kidding. I will actually read it to you. My family has challah at Thanksgiving every year. We aren't Jewish other than my grandma. We love making the connection to that side of the family. That, and there isn't a better bread in the world. Look what you're inspiring.
I know. I'm just so cross-cultural. Let's think. We are the world. Did I blow out a machine there when I laughed that loud?
We can tamp it down. We can tamp
okay,
it
good.
Down. It's good, totally good. Fine. Well, I love that. So you're inspiring culinary things, and Marcia Wallace is teaching you about hair. It's a full service show this week.
Like, totally.
So you are going to go into hibernation, and you are going to put all these different thoughts together. Do you have, I'm kind of gathering from what I'm seeing online, you have a tentative title that you're going with?
Yes, we're going to call it hashtag. Oh, I don't know if I'm supposed to say it.
I think you can.
I can, because we don't know what day this is.
Exactly.
It's hashtag Kate Clinton 2014.
Love it.
Love it.
You're such a social media. I have to say, you're very inspiring to me with regards to social media.
I
come near you, but it's very inspiring.
Well, it's pretty amazing, you know, to what the reach that you can have, as you know.
Yeah.
I mean, and I do these video blogs of almost every week, and they just, first of all, they're totally fun for me to do because I'm not, when I prepare for a show, I'm still a lesson plan kind of gal. I know exactly what I want to do, but the vlogs, I just have maybe three words, and we just see what happens.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
They've really kind of loosened me up to improvise.
Yeah.
I've done so many dinners and, you know, auctions and conferences that I can improvise, but it's really been fun.
Although I do have to ask
and
you.
I just have a shirt on, no pants. Okay.
Well, there's that. So that's there a whole, go. Wow, they're on different sites than I thought. I have to ask, I am sure that there are weeks that you, Kate Clinton, even you, Kate Clinton, are just not in the mood to be entertaining.
Well, I think that it's sort of, you know, my brother worked at a job he hated, but he got in the mood when he got there.
Yeah.
You know, I love my job, and I might not be in the mood, but I've gone through enough things in my life, deaths and stuff.
Just in this episode alone, yes.
Okay. I have evidence that doing the work actually helps me get through those times.
There it is.
And it's just, I feel very blessed. I mean, to get to make people laugh and, you know, to be a part of doing, you know, bringing my special skill set to the movement, the LGBT movement. It's, people would love to, you know, be able to participate the way I have. I'm very, very grateful for that.
Oh, we're so grateful to you. Tell everyone where they can go to follow all the cool things that you're doing.
The cool things are in living color at kateclinton.com.
There it is. There it is. And we will of course, link to
it
as well.
All.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Kate, my hope is that you have a sense of how much of an inspiration. Let me just speak from the eye, because we do that every now and then. You're such an inspiration to me, and you use your voice in just, I find you to have one of the sharpest wits out there, which I appreciate. As a gay Jew from New York, I appreciate enormously.
Oh,
but you really are one of those folks using your voice in the most authentic way. Taking people's minds off things is one thing that I know that a lot of humorists do, but you actually focus us in on the topics we're supposed to be talking about, even as you're entertaining us. And it's such an incredible gift. And my hope is that you know, let me just say how appreciative I am for what it is you do, and so many other folks as well.
It's very sweet, and it makes up for all those deaths.
I know, right? So I wish you well in therapy, because that's, you know.
Hey, and happy 4th of July to you.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry.
The independence is coursing through me. Kate Clinton, let's not let another 3 years go by. What a treat to have you on.
Pleasure to talk to you.
All right, folks, and we are back. Well, another entertaining guest for you on this week's show. Matt Crabtree is an actor and a writer and a producer and a director. You've seen him on Will and Grace and Greek and NCIS and Malcolm in the Middle and so many more shows. He's on stage all the time. He's got the whole web series thing under his belt, and he entertains us enormously here on our show. Matt Crabtree, welcome back to the show.
Thank
Sergei.
You.
Now, let me say a belated happy birthday to you.
Why, thank you so much.
How did you celebrate?
I actually took a few friends and we went to Disneyland.
No, you didn't.
I did. I've never done that on a birthday before, so I thought, you know what? Because I really hate planning birthdays. I really hate saying, oh, I'm going to be here if you want to show up, but let's do an invite. Screw it. So I put a little thing up on Facebook and said, hello, going to Disneyland for my birthday. Anyone who wants to come, come on down. And about five of us showed up and we had a good time.
Did you have a gay old time at Disneyland?
We had a gay old time at Disneyland. Not as gay as old time as we did at Gay Days when we did Disneyland a couple weeks, about a month ago, I think.
I'm a little bit weird about Gay Days at, like, Disney and at Great Adventure and Six Flags and all the things we have, because I feel like, oh, is it? I've never done it, so I should say I've never been to one of these amusement parks during a gay day, but it always strikes me as like, oh, okay, is it more fun that day? Is it weird that we're segregated that day? Can you reconcile my Gay Day feelings?
Well, here's the thing. I've never done it before. This was my first time, and we had gone down on a Friday because I only had a Friday, and it's a whole weekend event. And not many people are there on Friday, but every day is pretty much a gay day at Disneyland.
Right.
The only difference is there were a lot of red shirts.
Okay.
And so you would walk by and people, you know, and you could recognize each other. But it's very strange because, you know, when you go in crowds and you go to various places and things, you find people attractive, you look at them. You know what normal people would say, cruising at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But it's even stranger because now you're wearing a red shirt. And you're looking at people in red shirts, and now you know you're cruising each other, as opposed to, oh, I just saw an attractive man walk by. So it was a little eye-opening, I guess, about how we objectify each other.
I'm going to leave it at eye-opening and not ask any further questions.
Oh, nothing else happened to that.
I'm just saying. I will just leave it there. We have to get to the big news. How about that part of your life where you're going to see yourself and the rest of us are going to see you on Modern Family?
I can't wait.
Tell us. How. Now, can we back up a step? Because part of what I want to talk with you about, I'm not sure I totally understand, like, how these things work. You have a very different life than I have. So did you audition for this? Did someone just call you? Did someone in some room say, we want Crabtree? How does that work?
Well, I would love to say it was the latter.
Okay.
Someone just called and said, Crabtree, what are you doing coming on the show? But no, this one was a little bit interesting. For most shows, I do. I go in, I audition for a show. My agent, you know, scours what they call the breakdowns, which is what all the casting directors put out looking for certain characters on TV shows.
Okay.
And then I go in, I meet the casting director. It used to be I would meet the casting director, then I would come back and meet the directors and producers. Now, majority of the time, you walk in with the casting director, and they put you on tape.
Okay.
So they record everything, and then they send that to the network, and they send that to the directors and producers, and they usually decide from that. For Modern Family, it was very weird. I know the casting directors. I've met them before, and apparently this role came in on the show, and they thought of me, and about five other people, because they called my agent directly and said, hi, we'd like to see Matt for this, because they did not put out one of those breakdowns.
Okay.
So I went in, and there's about five or six of us there, various ages. I was probably, there were two young people, youngish people, like me, because it was my birthday, so I'm not going to tell you how old I was. And then that was that. I went in, I met the director, I met the producer, I met the writer, and we did it a couple times, and they smiled, and I left the room, and I found out the next day.
By the way, the story you just told, from what I just heard, there were people in a room who said, get us Crabtree.
It was. It kind of was.
Okay. So it was the latter, so that just negated that.
Only get me Crabtree. It was like, let's get Crabtree and bring him in.
Let me tell you, after I edit this show, it's going to sound much different. It's just going to be get us Crabtree. Okay, so you get the part. Well, let's even go step by step. You get the part from your agent. Who is your agent just like crazy excited and you get this call?
Crazy excited. He said, just so you know, Matt, you're pinned for Modern Family. What that means is that I am their choice,
okay,
but they have to get it approved by the network. So they have to actually send me to my audition tape to about, I don't know, 75 people. No, not 75 people, probably about 10 people.
Okay.
That will probably have to decide, yeah, he's good. He doesn't have any conflicts on ABC. He hasn't done an ABC show in a while, because they have to make sure that if I did do another ABC show, it doesn't air on the same night.
Gotcha. And
typically on the same week. So I could lose a job, which I have once in the past, because they were both CBS shows that are both airing in the same week, or the potential to air in the same week. So that happened, my agent called. I freaked out a little bit. And
No. You can't just move past that. What does that mean, that you freaked? I want to hear, like, what was the – it's Modern Family. One could argue it's won an Emmy or 40.
Or a million.
Yeah.
No, he called me and said, hey, Matt, I have some good news. I'm like, what? Said, you're pinned for Modern Family. I said, shut up! Of course, I used some obscenities in that, but I'm not going to get into that on your show.
Thank you.
Very exciting. I jumped up and down. I yelled a couple times. I didn't cry yet. Tears may well up in your eye every once in a while, because when you get on a big show like that, it's just a good moment, because there's so much work that goes into getting this job,
right,
or getting any other job, that, you know, when once it happens, it's such a relief. You're like, oh, there's a little bit of validation in yourself, because there is so much no in this business.
Yeah, I get that sense.
And then after that, he called and said, I booked it. I'm working next. I was going to work 4 days later. They sent me the script via email. I have everyone's email, by the way. It was very weird. They just didn't BCC anyone. I have everyone's email. About, like I said, 75 people's emails from ABC.
I'd be saving that, yeah.
And save. into my newsletter. Done. So that happened, and I showed up on set at... Oh, I went in and did a fitting on Monday. They put me in a nice John Varvatos suit.
Whoa.
And I look at the price tag, and I'm like, can I just walk out with this?
Which I totally would if I would have emailed the 75 people and said, FYI.
I'm taking it. Take it out of your paycheck. That would be great.
I'm not sure what you all meant by pinned, but what I meant was I get the suit.
Yeah, right. I'm going to pin it perfectly. And it was, and they tailor everything. They put you in nice shoes and nice shirts and nice. And I'm like, that's a nice, healthy budget for a TV show.
Nice. Because your part was?
I play Mr. Quigley. I'm the banquet manager for a place that Cam and Mitch want to have their wedding.
Nice. Because, look, there's all these different storylines going on in Modern Family, usually three in episodes, so it was kind of cool that you're in the gay one. We want you in the gay storyline.
But I am in the gay storyline.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I enjoy it.
And how were they to work with?
Oh, they're amazing. Eric Stonestreet, first of all, is genius. I have to say he's genius. Because I had never met him before. I only know him from what I see on television, because I love the show. I watch the show. So I'm coming out of my trailer, and we're hopping on a golf cart, and we're heading over to one of the sound stages, and Eric is there. And all of a sudden he says, hey, buddy, how are you? But his voice register is naturally about two octaves lower than Cam's, that it kind of freaked me out a little bit. Like, I wasn't prepared for it.
Right.
Because he's very straight, very, sports oriented. And those are two things I'm not. So it was very, at first it was a little uncomfortable, because I'm like, I don't know how to react around him. First of all, he's a celebrity and an Emmy winner.
There is that.
There is that. So it's a little bit of that. Plus, you're a real, real, real straight guy, and I'm going to figure out how to deal with you right now. And he could not have been nicer, could not have been sweeter. And Jesse, Tyler Ferguson, we have friends in common from New York. And it was great to talk to him for a few minutes about those friends and our connections. And we got on the soundstage after the Crazy Ones finished shooting, and we made magic in about an hour and a half. It was the shortest
day
I've probably ever had on a TV show.
And when does it air?
It airs either the end of December or beginning of January. It's episode 12, called And One to Grow On. It's a hysterical episode. I can't wait to see it myself.
Oh, good.
I've read the script. The whole thing, not just my stuff. I'm excited about that. But, you know, I look on IMDb to see when it's going to air. But during the holidays, they sometimes do repeats. So you can't just say, okay, last night was episode 7.
Right.
5 weeks from now, it'll be my episode. So it could be, beginning of January. But I will let you know.
Please
let
do.
Let everyone know.
And we will let everyone know. I just picture that you're sitting around right now. You're wearing the suit.
Actually, I could say yes, but I would lie to you. Currently, right now, I had put on a Santa hat, and I'm sitting in my chair in a red Snuggie.
Nice.
Because it is about 40 degrees here in Los Angeles.
Yes, it must be so rough for you all over there.
Life
on
is
that.
Not fair. I didn't move to California for 40 degree weather, which is why I'm going to Florida in 4 days to be in 80 degree weather.
You are going to Florida. You're going to be playing an elf.
I'll be playing David / Crumpet the Elf.
In?
The Santaland Diaries.
Which, by the way, I, for some reason, only became aware of that recently, just the whole Santaland Diary thing. It's everywhere.
When I started doing it 2 years ago, I started noticing it everywhere, because I've always wanted to do the show. I'm a big fan of David Sedaris. I remember him reading it on NPR. He does it every Christmas on NPR, which kind of catapulted him. And I've always loved this show, and when I got the opportunity to do it here in Los Angeles 2 years ago, I jumped at it, and it's a 28-page monologue where I just talk for an hour and 10 minutes.
Love it.
And cycle through about 50 characters that he encounters along the way.
And is that kind of thing more challenging for you? I mean, you know, I remember briefly my acting days, and monologues can be a bit tricky.
It is. It is incredibly tricky, because not only do you have to keep an audience engaged for an hour and 10 minutes, you have to realize that they're just going to watch you for an hour and 10 minutes. You don't go off stage.
Right.
There's no intermission. You start one place and you take everyone on this journey to a little love and understanding at the very end. And that's what I love about it. I love engaging those, having those audiences engage and sit on the edge of their seats and laugh and have a good time, because to me that's what theater is about.
Yeah, yeah. You just finished a run in the very subtly titled The Homosexuals.
Yes, I have no idea what it was about. There may have been a couple of gay people in it.
Even after the whole run, you don't
after
know what
the whole
it was
run,
about.
I think it was about gay people. I'm not quite sure. No, it was a wonderful play with the Celebration Theater here in Los Angeles. And this is the 31st year of producing LGBT theater.
Oh, that's
and
so great.
One of the oldest in the country, founded by one of the founding members of the Mattachine Society.
Yeah.
So it was nice to be able to do my very first show with them. I've known them for years. I've seen their shows. And this is a play by Philip Dawkins out of Chicago, out of Chicagoland. And it's a great story. It's people compared it to Boys in the Band.
Okay.
A more modern-day version of Boys in the Band. And it goes back into, it goes from 2010 to 2000. So you see where everyone ends up, and then you see how everyone began. And I find that conceit very interesting to me.
Yeah. I mean, because there's a couple different levels going on there. On the one hand, sure, it's an acting gig for you, but then there's a little bit of history there as well.
It is. It was very interesting whenever the entire cast started doing the show, we would all talk about how we'd be out and about, and people would say, hey, what show are you doing right now? And you're like, well, depending on who asked you, you're like, well, we're doing with Celebration Theater, and they've been doing LGBT theater for 31 years, and it's called The Homosexuals. Like, we actually had to give a little backstory about why it's called The Homosexuals, or why I'm doing a show called The Homosexuals. But that happened with everyone in the cast. It was very interesting to navigate, especially here in Hollywood.
I love that on the back of your headshot, you can just put the homosexuals and then ... gay guy or just something like that. Perfect.
I've done that already.
I bet you have. I bet you have. Now, what is this? I did not know this. In doing some, as I naturally would, some Matt Crabtree research, I did not know that you give Hollywood tours of sorts.
I do. I'm a Hollywood historian, so I do walking tours with a company called Redline Walking Tours, and it's an hour, 15-minute guided tour of Hollywood, a walking tour. With headsets, so you get a chance to hear every word I say. So once again, it's like doing a one-man show for an hour and 15 minutes, but only with historical facts. And I started it with a company called Urban Adventures, and we give local experiences to out-of-towners and even people who live in Los Angeles. I have more people on my tour from Los Angeles than I do from out of the state or out of the country. And that one is a three-hour walking kind of tour of the area. Whether it's Stars and Bars, where we hit all the historic bars and talk about them, and free tastings, or we do a morning Hollywood 101 where we get a huge overview of Hollywood. We take Metro, and we hit various places here around Los Angeles.
Nice.
So it's nice for people to come to town and say, this is what locals do.
And what is the gayest part of the tour?
The gayest, well, other than me giving it.
other than that, yes.
Actually, along Hollywood Boulevard is actually what they call a little marker called Christopher Street West. And it was the very first gay pride parade after Stonewall that they actually closed the street for.
Oh,
so
wow.
A year after Stonewall, they had their very first gay pride parade on Hollywood Boulevard. And we were the only city in the country that first year to shut down the street for the parade.
I had no idea.
And that marker is right beside the Scientology building. I'm not saying anything. Of course, I live a block from the Celebrity Center, so I'm probably being bugged right now. But I'm not saying anything negative about them. Just,
Oh, you can't say things like that, Overlord Xenu is so gay, because they come down on you pretty quick. They come down pretty quick. I want to take the tour.
Okay,
let's book it.
But anytime, come on out to Hollywood.
Well, I'm in L.A. every single summer, so I got to take the tour next summer when I'm there.
Let me know. Just you can find me on Facebook. You have my email address and phone number. But for everyone else, if you come to Hollywood, just make sure I'm working that day because, I have other jobs too.
You do.
As being an actor here in Los Angeles, so I'm not there every day, but we can make it happen.
All right. We all finished the San Francisco to L.A. AIDS ride, and then we're going to do a tour with you.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That'd be fun. How is our buddy Michelle Bonilla?
Michelle, but she's a world traveler.
Nice.
She does not take me with her.
Not nice.
Upsetting. How dare you be in London and not take me? Of course, it's probably cold and rainy there, too. So.
Because when we last chatted, your web series, Failing Upwards, was just coming to its conclusion of airing. How do you feel about the experience now?
It was a great experience. I mean, it was 10 months out of my life.
Yeah.
Last year was a hard year because of that, just because, you know, whenever you focus so much on one particular project, other things kind of fall apart in your life.
Right.
Like jobs, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I would not have traded the experience for the world. To be able to write, create, and star in a series that I'm proud of. And, to continue with the Failing Upwards, you never know. Well, we do have some scripts in the can that we could go back to, but, it's all about finding the right time to actually dive back in.
Let's do a little learning annex with Matt Crabtree for our aspiring Hollywood types, for our aspiring actors. Your life, I will tell you, quite frankly, your life scares me. Because I would just be nervous. It seems like you make so much of your own success, and I think it's incredible, but it's also petrifying to me because, okay, what are you going to do next? And I don't want to petrify you with that. That's more my mother coming out of my voice right now. For our aspiring actors, what would you tell them? Especially because it sounds like, as you've said, rejection is so much a part of the game.
Right. I actually have an additional part-time job. Scanning photos.
Okay.
Right. It's a part-time thing, and I was there. I can only do a certain number of hours a week because I'm working for this one gentleman here in Los Angeles, And everyone else in his office, they're like, oh, we wish we had your life. And I was like, you know what? Probably not, because you're, you know, you come in, you work, you have a, you know, you have a 9-to-5 job, you have a steady paycheck coming in, you know where your next paycheck's coming from. For people like me, I mean, I work, and I'm very happy for that and grateful for that. But what it is, it's, you know, there has to be a way for you to balance happiness and balance your life, because many, you know, I know many people in 9-to-5 jobs that are just very unhappy. And, but, you know, they have everything steady and they're very secure in what they're doing. As an actor, we do go from job to job. We do have to find other ways of supplementing income along the way. Because a lot of this business, of course, a lot of it is about talent, but a lot of it is about luck, being in the right place at the right time. And when that happens, you've got to make sure you're ready.
Yeah. Now, what about the gay piece? I mean, we could talk about it endlessly, and it is talked about endlessly, but you see both sides of the coin on whether or not to be out in Hollywood.
I think it only helps to be out in Hollywood.
Okay.
I know a lot of people don't really come out until they become famous, because they want to make it first, or be a name, or not have that be an issue because they already have a huge fan base.
Right.
There are a lot of young actors who come to town and don't want to do that, because they want to make sure, you know, it's like, I want to make sure I get these jobs. I don't want anyone to discriminate against me, because there's still a lot of discrimination here in Hollywood, I think. But I believe everyone should, because okay, when people start coming out in droves and wanting to, you know, wanting to be in this business, the more people that are out, the more it's not going to become an issue anymore, especially here in Hollywood. I know there's, you know, different. There's a huge difference between the West Coast and East Coast and everything in between. But I think that when more people are out, more people will become accepting, because they see themselves in these characters on television. They see these actors who are out and proud and, you know, doing interviews and giving back to the world and just living their life out and open and not really making an issue out of it. So when people come out, I'm like, you know, Tom Daley just came out as bisexual,
right,
and
right,
that's great for us bisexuals. I'm like, yay, another bisexual. But it's really great to see that, I think.
By the way, you just opened the door, so now I got to walk through it. How about Tom Daley and Dustin Lance Black?
Tom Daly's adorable. Dustin Lance Black is a very nice man. I've met him once. You know what? To each their own, I think.
All right. A lot of controversy there about the age difference.
There's been a lot of that. You know, a lot of people who have that kind of age difference. You know what? I think it's fine. As long as, because I was young once.
It was like a year ago, yes.
A year ago, I was young once. And, you know, do I regret not going out with, you know, with older men who could, you know, buy me dinners and stuff like that? As I got older, I'm like, oh, I was really cute once. I was like that once. And I didn't take that road because for me, in my mind, I didn't want to be, oh, you know, the older figure, the daddy figure. I didn't really want that. And I didn't want, I think it was in my mind going, I didn't want people to think that that's what I was with this person for.
Right.
It was because of their money. So I think, you know, if they're open about it, they're okay with it because it's more of how they feel about it. I mean, I could care less. I'm like, good for them. Good for Dustin. I'm going to have to go to some diving championships and see what happens.
Is that what they're calling it these days? Who knew?
I have no idea. Men in speedos diving from a board. I don't really know what it means. I don't think there's actually a sport involved in that. I just think it's show and tell.
And yet the ratings skyrocket. Oh, that's like a euphemism, too. Look at that.
Well, if you go to, there's a bar in Hollywood called Gym Bar, which is the gay sports bar. You go there and diving is on. Gymnastics is on. But you also have the footballs and whatnot. But when they do have the men's gymnastics on, you can guarantee that they will be on.
I clearly need to go to L.A. more. That's the moral of the story. All right, well, so you're headed to Florida. Now, do you have the script down pat? You feel like you know this?
I do. I've been working on it every day since I found out I have a job. My friend Jamie Morris, who created and stars in he's done several shows, Mommy Queerest, which is Mommy Dearest with four actors.
Oh.
And we do the entire movie, a sp- spoof of the movie in an hour and 20 minutes. And he plays Joan Crawford, a man by the name of Brooks Brazelman out of New York, who is probably one of the funniest men I know, plays Christina. And Jamie has also done Facts of Life, the lost episode. And they just did a new one called Redesigning Women.
Oh, my.
Which they're going to bring to L.A. This next year, I hope. And I'm slated to be Annie Potts. So we're going to see how that works out. He's actually doing Sandland Diaries at this theater in Florida, and he booked a movie and said, Matt, we're kind of in a bind. Can you come down and do the last five shows? And I'm like, absolutely.
Oh, I'm really, you had me at Annie Potts. That's clearly a line I need to use more. That's really, I think, where I can be more fulfilled. All right, so you're headed down to Florida. You have to, of course, tell everyone where they can go to follow all your adventures.
You can follow my adventures at through my website at mattcrabtree.com. You can Facebook me at facebook.com/officialmattcrabtree.
Okay.
Like me there. You'll see everything that I'm doing there. On the Twitter, as it were, it's at the, T-H-E, Matt Crabtree. And you can email me through there, and you can direct message me, and I follow you back. I have a good time, and I hope everyone else in the world does too.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, we're booking the walking tour for next summer, so that's very
Woo-hoo!
Exciting. I love the idea. I just think that all over Hollywood, there are people sitting in rooms just looking at scripts and saying, get me the Crabtree. I love that idea.
As long as they don't start saying, get me the Crabtree type.
That would be,
that's the last stage.
What would that type be? How would you define that type? Stealing? I don't. How would you pin that down?
Well, by the time they start saying it, it'll be like, oh, mid-30s, dark hair, funny guy, great sense of humor. I think I just did my online dating profile.
You know, the one with Tom Daly. So there you go.
The one with Tommy. I'm just going to call him Tommy D. Someone accidentally messed up the other day and said Tom Delay, and I kind of got a little excited about that.
That's a whole different show altogether. Safe travels to Florida. You be the best elf that you can possibly be.
I will be the best crumpet anyone can be.
Thanks as always, Matt.
Thank you so much.
All right, folks, that about wraps things up for this week's episode of This Show Is So Gay. Let me urge you to take 2 seconds and send an email on over to ken@thisshowisogay.com. If you have any feedback, if you have guest ideas, we're always looking for new guests for This Show Is So Gay, whether they are national icons or internationally renowned, or they are cool people in your local community that are really making a difference for their LGBT and ally brothers and sisters. Send that email on over to ken@thisshowisogay.com. We just love featuring people who are using their voice to make that difference. And go to Facebook and like us. We're approaching 5,000 likes, and that's really exciting. We're approaching our 250th episode. That's coming up in like a month, which is just, it's just crazy. And we never would have gotten this far without your support. So we're not at the end of the year yet. We don't have to do some maudlin Happy New Year thing just yet. We will do it in a couple weeks, though. But please know, and my gosh, I hope you know, we so, so appreciate your support. It means the world to us. So keep on listening. Share our Facebook page. Subscribe to us. You can just go to thisshowisogay.com and go to the iTunes link and subscribe so that each episode uploads automatically. And that's it for us. So huge thank you to Kate Clinton. What a chat. I really was going to edit it, but I was true to my word. I did not edit it, so you heard all about death. We talked a lot about death. And, of course, to Matt Crabtree, our buddy. Get out there, folks. Go make a difference. And remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?